Psalm 14:1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, 'There is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none good. There is none who does good.'" I invite you to open your Bibles and follow along this evening as I want to talk about some different types of fools. What does the Bible say about fools? I want us to consider a few verses. Proverbs 17:12. "Let a man meet a bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly." You think about a mother bear that just had her babies taken away. And he says it's better to meet a mother bear that had her babies taken away than to meet a fool. Proverbs 17:28, "Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive." And these proverbs, you see some humor in there. Basically saying if a fool keeps his mouth shut, even then he's thought to be a little bit smarter than he is. Proverbs 18:2, "A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart." He doesn't want to listen to what somebody else has to say. A fool just wants to keep talking about what he wants somebody to hear. Proverbs 18:7, "A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul." Our mouth can get us into all kinds of problems and troubles. Proverbs 23:20, verse 3, "It's honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel." So if you're in a conversation with someone, it takes the better person to stop arguing. Proverbs 23:9, "Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words." Again, many times a fool does not want to listen to what you have to say. Proverbs 26:4, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him." Don't get down to his level. Proverbs 28:26, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered." These are just a few of the passages talking about what a fool is. Sometimes we may not recognize a fool till later. Sometimes when we see a fool, it's very easy to recognize their foolishness. So maybe you'll recognize some foolishness in these next slides. You see this man, you got to laugh at that, but you know it's sad. He's hanging upside down with his legs wrapped around this man's head, working upside down on an air conditioner outside a window. That's just foolish. We've seen this many times. A man sitting out on the edge of a limb, cutting the wrong part. You know, as soon as he cuts it, he's going to land on the ground. You got some problems with the power in your house? You need to call a repairman. Notice his safety boots that he's wearing. He doesn't have any shoes on at all, as he's wrapped around these wires working on them. You need to have some mechanical work done to your vehicle. You need to jack it up first. We look at that and say it's foolish. Maybe you're doing a home remodeling project and you've got somebody to help you remodel a room. And here we see someone using a human saw horse and cutting a board on this man's back. We look at those and we laugh. We say, that's just plain foolish. How could anybody be so foolish? Well, how does the Bible describe a fool? Fool is represented by a large number of Hebrew and Greek words. The word is used in Scripture with respect to moral more than intellectual deficiencies. The fool is not so much one lacking in mental powers as one who misuses them. not one who does not reason, but reasons wrongly. In the scripture, the fool is primarily the person who casts off the fear of God. Someone does not have a fear of God, they are a fool, and thinks and acts if he could safely disregard the eternal principles of God's righteousness. The fool says, I don't care what God says. I don't care if he says do this or don't do this. I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. Many passages, especially in Proverbs, the term has its ordinary use and denotes one who is rash, senseless, or unreasonable. The expression you fool in Matthew 5:22 is used in a moral sense. It means wicked. It seems to be equal to judging one as worthy of everlasting punishment. Here's a cartoon pointing out the fact, fools. Fools everywhere. We see fools all around us when it comes to not wanting to follow God's word. So I want us to consider some different types of fools. When we read in Psalm 14:1 to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The person that does not believe that God exists is a fool. David calls him a fool. The Holy Spirit calls him a fool. The Bible calls him a fool. You do not believe in God, you're fool. You're foolish. You see, faith is reasonable. We have faith in appliances. We have faith in our cars. We got in our cars and we expected to get here tonight. We have faith in airplanes. We get in an airplane. We expect that airplane to take us somewhere. These are creations, elaborate creations, and we have faith in all of these. Now stop and think, if we could find a machine and then find a book that described that machine accurately and to the last detail, we could assume that the man who made the machine wrote the book because he understood it. He understood how it was made. This is exactly the situation with the Bible, man, and God. God created man. And we have this book, the Bible, that explains man inside and out. So we can rightly reason that God created man. When we look at the design of a watch, we understand that it just didn't come into existence from nothing. When we look at the design of the universe, when we look at gravitation to the relation of stars in the universe, down to the smallest plant in our garden, they all bear the same marks, order, design, intelligence. And these marks proclaim the existence of God. You take that watch, order, design, intelligence. They proclaim the existence of God. The watch proclaims there's a watchmaker. Man proclaims that there is a man creator. That is God. For someone to say that God does not exist, he is a fool. Well, the second type of fool to consider is one that hears the word and does not obey the word. Matthew 7:21, beginning, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So all of these people came to Jesus and they said, Lord, Lord, haven't we done this in your name and that in your name? And he said, depart from me, you that practice iniquity, you that practice lawlessness. I didn't tell you to do this. You're operating without authority. You have no authority for what you are doing. Then he goes and he tells them this story of this wise man and this foolish man. The wise man built his house on the rock. The foolish man built his house on the sand. Many of us have heard that story from the times we were young, very young. There are many people today that are building on the sand. They're building on the sand. They aren't building on the rock. And Jesus calls them foolish. The salvation of the soul is conditional upon obedience to the word. People, they hear the word, but then they do not obey it. There's power in the word. The word makes us better. Acts 20:32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. God's word builds us up. That's why it's so important that we spend time in God's word. That's why it's important we come together to study God's word. And that is also an indicator of our interest in God, in Christ, and in the church. How much time we want to spend in his word. Well, the word does not just build us up. The word comforts us in life and in death. Romans 15:4, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. We need to be comforted. Maybe a friend can help us. But friends, we go to God's word, and God is the only one that can truly comfort us because of the promises that he has made to us if we are faithful to him. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and 18. Notice the word in this section. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until his coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend with heaven, with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. There's great comfort in the word. The one who hears the word and does not obey is a fool. The word is what we will be judged by. John 12:48. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. What do people think they're going to be judged by? I think some people don't think there's going to be a judgment. Everybody's just automatically going to go to heaven. But what does Jesus say? He says we can either accept him or reject him. He who rejects me, how do we reject Jesus? By not receiving his words. He's that person that does not accept me and rejects me, does not receive my words. He's got something that he's going to be judged by. What's he going to be judged by? He's going to be judged by the words I said. You see how he gets you going and coming with this short verse? He who does not receive my words, if we do not receive this, he's going to reject us. and we're going to be judged. And what are we going to be judged by? How we feel, what we think? No, we are going to be judged by this revelation. And we should be thankful that we are. Just think if we were going to be judged by something else. We might not know what that something else is. Just think if there is still continuing revelation like people say today. I had a dream, I had a vision. If people were still having visions today, how would we know that we had the latest, most up-to-date revelation from God? We wouldn't. But see, it's been revealed. It was a mystery. It's been revealed. It's recorded. It's written down. Once delivered for all. Once delivered for all time. There's no more revelation that's coming. The Word. The person that rejects the Word of God is a fool. Another type of fool, the one who obeys the gospel and then does not live it. Galatians 3:1, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? We've all seen people like this, the one who obeys the gospel and then does not live it. You can compare it to the parable of the sower, and when the seed falls on a certain kind of heart, and then it's crowded out by the cares of the word, it's crowded out by the love of the world, by riches, by money, by different things. Some people don't realize the commitment that there is in becoming a Christian. Again, some people think that all you have to do is be baptized and you're saved. Sometimes I think people think that because that's what they've heard preached over and over and over. You got to be baptized to be saved. And that is true, but that's just the beginning. Being baptized puts us into the family of God. We have a relationship then with each other, with the Father. We have responsibilities to one another. We need the family to help support us, to encourage us when we get down. God didn't intend for us to live by ourselves. And the church is referred to as the family of God, the household of God. Foolish Galatians, foolish. You're foolish. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? Different people, they will be baptized and for one reason or another do not continue obeying the word. Obeying the word is an ongoing process. Consider the alien sinner though. 2 Thessalonians 1:7, and give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels and flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. We all know this verse. We know how terrible it is going to be for someone who does not know God, does not obey God, does not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be terrible, punished with everlasting destruction. But that's only just, that's only fair, because God has revealed in his word what he wants us to do. God is a just God. He cannot overlook that sin. So that is only fair. It's sad. The alien sinner is lost if they don't obey. But then what if somebody has obeyed, they're in this condition, they obey, and then they go back into the world? What's the condition of that person? Peter says it's worse. The lost Christian is in a worse condition. 2 Peter 2:20. For if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the later end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. Can you think of two things more disgusting to describe a Christian that turns his back on Christ and goes back into the world? A dog that returns to his own vomit, they just don't go back and look at their vomit, they go back and eat it. It's disgusting. A sow having been washed to wallowing in the mire. What's the mire? Some people think that's just mud. The mire is that mud that they live in, where slop is thrown there, garbage is thrown in there for them to eat, their excrement is there. And that's how he's describing the Christian that has gone back into the world. Hebrew writers in verse 6 says, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated receives blessings from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned." Again, the description of one that has tasted the good word of God. You just think about that saying. The word of God is something good to taste. We don't want to just taste it and leave it. We want to taste it and live it. We taste the word of God. We want to, like physical food, we taste it, we take it in. It becomes part of us. In Hebrews 10:26, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for our sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment, fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. And again, 'The Lord will judge his people.' It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." When we turn our back on God, when we do what we want to do, people make different excuses. "I'm not hurting anybody. It's none of your business." Everybody does something. We are insulting the Spirit. We are insulting Christ, who came and died on the cross for our sins, that we could be forgiven of our sins, that price could be paid. And we are insulting him. What are we? We're a fool. We are a fool to do that. The Christian life is one of service. Hebrews 2, verse 1, "Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him?" How can I think that I'm going to escape my due reward, that punishment? How am I going to think that I can escape that? People think they can escape that, and they're foolish. They're foolish. Eternal salvation is to the faithful. Matthew 24:13, but he endures to the end shall be saved. And again, a couple weeks ago when we were looking at being saved by grace, you have been saved by grace, talking about that action in the past. That's in the past. We've been saved from our past sins. That's not talking about our current sins or our future sins. He who endures to the end shall be saved. We are to be faithful unto death. Revelation 2:10, do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you'll have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. And people will say, but I am fearful of what might happen. What if I'm put to death? Well, do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer, that you may be tested. Be faithful until death. If so you are put to death, what's going to happen then? If you're faithful, the angels are going to carry you into paradise. We don't have to fear death. I'll let you in on a little secret. Unless Christ comes back first, every one of us here are going to die. We don't like to think about it. We are all going to die. And if we die, what we want to make sure we do is die in the Lord. Because it's a sad thing to die out of the Lord. Well, the last type of fool I want to consider is described as the rich fool. Luke 12, verse 16. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20, but God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? The rich fool. I'm glad Jesus called this man a fool. We might have called him a success. Look at how well this man has done. His crops are so big, he's building bigger barns. He is such a success. Jesus didn't call him a success, he called him a fool. How did Jesus know he was a fool? Not from the man himself or from his neighbors. We cannot know a fool by how he looks or what his wife says about him or what his preacher says about him. Not by the way he looks or talks or acts. What did his foolishness consist of? When you look at that, you go back and look at that, how many times he says, what shall I do? I have no room in my room to store my crops. I will do this. I will pull down my barns. I will store up all my crops. I will say to my soul. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. See, what did his foolishness consist of? Consider what it was not from. It was not because he made money, and it does not say that he made it dishonestly. He was foolish because he saved it. He hoarded it. He thought all of that was from his doing. He left God out of his life. He left his wife and children out of the picture. He left his fellow man out. He thought he had a guarantee on life. He made no preparation for the next life. He thought material things of life would bring him happiness. I. And God says, you fool, tonight your soul's going to be required of you. Friends, we don't know how much time we have. Are we living wisely or are we living like fools? Different types of fools. The one who does not believe in God. The one who believes in God but is not a doer of the word. the one who believes baptism is the only thing you need to do to be acceptable to God, and the one that trusts in his riches. Friends, I pray that we are not fools. I pray that we are wise, that we will spend time in God's word, that we will do what God wants us to do so that we can receive that heavenly reward that is waiting for us. Friends, if there's anyone that needs to respond to the gospel this evening, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.